Welcome to another episode of Beer Talk. I'm your host, as always, Malik Stark. And before we get started, a special thanks to the PLCB for making this show possible. And without further ado, we have James and Ben Burton of Rural City.
Thanks. Hey, how's it going, everybody?
What's up?
How are we doing?
How are you all?
Good. Great.
Cracking one out. You know, I'm going to do that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel weird.
We were on a cracking one. So. Cheers, man.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the world famous, locally famous, When Did We Get a Dog? From Zero Day.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Nice. We're drinking one of our Session New England IPAs and an American Lager currently.
Okay. Nice.
Case of the
nice.
Mondays.
Is that what it's called? A case of the Mondays?
It is called Mondays, but okay. So yeah, it's the only case of the Mondays you're really going to want. You know?
That's fair. Oh, wow. That should be on the can.
I think it is. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, man, I just want to know more. We didn't want to know more about Rural City. Like, how did it start? Like, obviously, like, I assume you two are brothers, right?
We're brothers from the same mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
And same father.
Yeah, I've known him since birth, so it's pretty cool.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. 30 years to be exact, actually. We started brewing. James is a few years older than me. 8 years older than me. Sorry, James. But he was able to start home brewing before me. So, but James started home brewing back in 2008.
Yeah.
And, I jumped on in 2012, and then we just haven't stopped from there. So, how we started out.
So, you know, in the backyard is a lot different, just drinking beers and making, you know, homebrew. And then we decided to leave our careers as a GIS specialist and an archaeologist to jump into the professional aspect of brewing because we wanted to open up our own brewery. And so Ben jumped over into Chatty Monks in West Reading, and then for a short stint, and then down to Mad Chef in East Pete outside of Lancaster. I started over at Swashbuckler at the PA Ren Fair, and we both did that for almost 5 years.
Yeah,
professionally.
Yeah,
and then built our business plan during COVID, and just kept chipping away at trying to get open and finding a spot. And we found it here in beautiful Reamstown.
Yeah.
Tallest building I've had.
Pretty old building. But we got lucky. There was already a brewery that was in here.
Okay.
And unfortunately, just like many other businesses, COVID affected them. So, but we just got our foot in the door, and that's how it started, I guess.
So, I only reacted to the archaeologist part of that because I don't know what a GIS is.
They coexist.
He worked for the same company out of college, which was cool because he built the maps for me to go out into the field and then dig holes and do surveying and things like that. So.
Yeah. Awesome. And you all said that you just built a business plan. Like I know that most people start with home brewing, but I think that is like from going to home brewing to like having to build a business plan or like come up with those kind of things. That's way different than just brewing beer, small batch in the backyard.
Right.
Yeah. It was, we are fortunate enough to be in Lancaster County where they have a SCORE. And that's a free, you can pay for special classes, but it's also a free way to work with business, old business owners, new business owners, and build out a business plan, kind of build out your, look at the highs and lows and the ins and outs of what a business actually takes. And so Lancaster SCORE helped us build our business plan over a course of 2 years.
Yep.
It helped that we both worked doing reports and looking at the details that have to go in, that kind of stuff. So our business plan was very, very detailed.
Yeah, like you all would have to know about that, like coming from that kind of thing. So you all opened in, if I'm not mistaken, 2021, right?
Correct.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was, I mean, it wasn't in the height or at least like the most stressed, not, I don't want to use the wrong adjective there, but like, right, as far as like COVID, like it was kind of like getting a little bit more lax and it could open up a little bit more. How did that affect like opening day?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely affected it a little bit. We opened on the day before Thanksgiving in 2021. Okay. So we had that everybody was really excited for us to be open, and Reamstown likes to drink beer, so that's pretty cool. But I would say that our food menu was a little smaller back in the beginning because of that, mm-hmm, reason, because we didn't know what it was going to bring in. Mm-hmm. But since then, we've just kept expanding the food menu and the beer menu and everything like that. So yeah, definitely affected us business plan wise in the beginning.
We literally had to put a COVID section into our business plan, you know, for the banks and everything like that. Like, what are you going to do if we shut down? Because restaurants, bars really took the biggest hit. Yep. So we had to really focus on what we would do. So we started our first day, we only did carry out to go, didn't bother with the kitchen, didn't even have enough staff to really man the bar. So it was all, you know, packaged cans and crowlers and tasters and things like that. But yeah, coming out of COVID was challenging in its own because we didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, we were still in that gray phase where nobody knew what was going to happen. I mean,
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy for a lot of people. Like I said, I worked for Zero Day, and the tap room opened right after like COVID had started. Like, I remember going in for a job interview for like with a mask on to be a bartender before I started brewing. So like, yeah, that's yeah, go you all. Like, for still making that work, man. I'm not from PA originally. Where is Reamstown?
So if you look at the state, I'll try and do it backwards. If you look at the state, here's Philadelphia. We're in Lancaster County. So if you follow the turnpike, the country's first major highway. from Philly, we're about an hour towards Harrisburg, and then Reamstown is right off of the turnpike, off of 222, 272. So it's honestly a great spot. We've had a lot of travelers that are on the major highway stop off to, you know, get a bite to eat or a drink, and happen upon us. So it's really cool. But it's northern Lancaster County. So
all right, that's fair. Yeah. So both of you, like, with going from home brewing, like, I know that you started maybe 8 years before then hidden, but
yeah, thanks. It was only a couple of years. Yeah. It was a gray area for my age.
Don't look at the gray behind the beard.
I won't. So I know I heard Mad Chef, and I heard the brewery that's attached to the Ren Fair. How did going from homebrewing to like an actual?
It was a huge difference.
It's a big difference. Yeah.
So, I mean, I was working at Iron Hill for a while, not as a brewer, but just a server assistant, whatever you want to call it. And then I've always been interested in doing the brewing there. So the real change started at Iron Hill, I think, for seeing how everything was so sanitized, and not that we weren't doing as much as we could, but like James said, we were in a backyard, so not in a controlled area. But yeah, moving to professional brewing, it was a lot more safety, serification, and sanitation. So, <That's right. laughs> so there's a lot more with that. I think personally, and I know you do too, but
yeah, jumping from 5 gallons to 15 barrels was pretty huge. I mean, each barrel, 31 gallons. So brewing one barrel on that was already six times the amount that we had done at home.
Plus choking down 4 gallons or 5 gallons of homebrew versus like being proud of like nice, clear beer that we like can enjoy every nice day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be proud of it and also enjoy it at the same time. But yeah, there's quite a big difference between home brewing and professional.
You mess up at home, you just get rid of 5 gallons. You mess up at work, and they never let you forget.
Yeah. So.
Are you all still? I assume that you're still the main ones brewing. Like I've heard. Yeah, of you
I've,
all,
like, I've, I've taken kind of a step away from more of the brewing just because of the business aspect, you know, having, mm-hmm. we have three locations now too. So, taking a step away from the brewing side. Now Ben does 100% of the brewing. He has an assistant. So it's Ben and Jerry in the back.
Is it really Ben and Jerry?
Yeah.
Did you purposely go find someone named Jerry?
Yeah.
He found us.
We looked really hard for him. Yeah. it's Ben and Jerry doing all the brews and they're crushing it. I enjoy drinking it. That's the one part of the business that I don't really have to worry about, which is awesome. So it's a big stress reliever.
Yeah. There you go, man. Like, you trust your brother. So as far as like the beer that you all have made, what's like the staple? I'm sure like with both of you all being brewers, like,
yeah,
both and all of your beers.
That's a constant conversation.
Always. Like, yeah.
What is, you know, what's our staple? What's our flagship brews? What's one that, you know, we want to mass produce and get across the country. You know what I mean? Like those kind of conversations about growth and what beer can we really, really lean on. And we've still just been doing a beer for every palate that walks in the door. So our tap list goes from, you can't see it right now, but
you can kind of behind my head.
Goes from like dry Irish stouts to sours to lagers, like light lagers, dark lagers, heavier New England's,
West Coast IPAs.
Yeah, West Coast. We always have a cider on, so that we don't make the cider, but at least we can hit on that palate too. So it's
something for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of our, you know, most sold beers are still the New England area, but New England IPAs, or hazy IPAs, but we also see a big bump in lagers and West Coast, I think, too. I love making the West Coast IPAs. So I always like having a couple of those on. But yeah, it's just trying to find what people really enjoy and will continue to drink. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
And what we want to drink too.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the big part of it. Down, so. I mean, like I started over in the brewery here, and I'm a huge stout person. So, I mean, they've actively stopped me from trying to make stouts in the summer and springtime. But come this winter, that's all I want to do.
Yeah,
keep that all year. You said you all have a dry stout on now?
We do, yeah. And a blonde stout, actually, too.
Okay.
That's on nitro. Yeah,
it is on nitro.
So we have blonde stout, Irish dry stout. And then, people ask for them all year round. They don't sell as great when it's super hot out, but people love them. So we try and keep one on.
Okay. Awesome. Man.
Yeah.
And you said that you all have, you're working under three locations right now, right? You said?
Yeah. We opened up our Lancaster tap room. So downtown Lancaster in October, the first Friday of October, we opened that up officially. And then we've been running the Warehouse District Beer Garden for the last 2 years. This is our third year there, but we just opened that on officially on Saturday with a Lancaster Brewers Guild beer fest. And then Sunday we did Big Bloom Art Festival. And that was our official like big opening. We had music, we had artists come in, and like, yeah, it was awesome. So that's our third location. It's seasonal, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's it, man. And there's a lot of, this time of year is almost as big as like fall for beer festivals. What beer festivals are you all going to be at this spring and summer? Well, that you know of course.
So the next one, I'm trying to think. The next one is May, right?
State College.
Oh yes. Yeah. So, Beaver Fest out at State College is May 11th. And then May 18th is Baron Brew Fest. I'm in Manheim, PA. So right down here in Lancaster County. There's a lot. There's Skook Fest up in Pottsville. There's
Lititz
Beer Fest. That's in the fall.
September.
My God.
We also have a calendar. Yeah. There's quite a beer fest that we hit up. I know Kennett is one that we'll get to probably in the fall. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We also like to get out and go to other fests as well. So we're a big part of the Kutztown Folk Fest now. Okay. We were there last year as well for, I think, first beer garden other than what they had other the year before.
Yeah, so it was their first like craft beer garden. Yeah. Yeah, we do, on top of all those beer fests, we do a lot of offsites, a lot of benefit beer gardens. Like here in Reamstown Park, there's a benefit we're doing in May. There's a couple little beer gardens that we're doing. We're actually going up this weekend to Pottsville to work with Black Rock Brewing. We do full Fall Fest in the fall for I-105. We do... a bunch of
them. Yeah. So weekends don't exist.
My calendar, you know?
Yeah. You all said something about that. I didn't know it was called Beaver Fest. I just knew that it was a beer festival. And
I'm pretty sure it college. Is.
Yeah.
Or we just nicknamed it that. And I apologize.
I mean, that's all right.
Yeah, I hope it's
I'm pretty
that.
Sure it is.
Yeah. I mean, that nickname's going to stick if it's not. I mean, either way.
Damn, we're going to Beaver Fest.
Yeah, I'm good. We're going to be at that one also. So, yeah, man, if I don't get to see you all before then, like, definitely
we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Within the last, like, 3 years almost of, like, opening that place in Reamstown, what have you all noticed as far as like the difference from like starting now to like what's happening right now as far as like the beer industry?
As far as beer industry, I mean the you can follow like the styles, you know what I mean? Like so yeah. New England's were super hot. It's kind of leveling off a little bit. IPA will always be the top. When I was at Swashbuckler, I noticed that out of nowhere, Saisons were like the hot style. And now you don't really see many. I love Saisons, but you don't see many of those. The rise of Pilsners and lagers and, you know, lighter kind of beer. The rise of NAs is, like, questionable to me. And then as far as, like, that looming, the RTD crafted cocktails that are going to bust into the beer distributors is something that, you know, we're looking at and looking, you know, to how we're going to shift the business to still – to still maintain that, you know, business, I guess I could say. But
I also think that customers are also their palates are becoming more powerful and
educated.
Yeah. Thank you. So that means that us brewers need to really pay attention to the process and make sure that our passion is also in check, because that I think that's a big part of the brewing industry is making sure you have that passion and creativity. And just making sure that you brew good beer for the customers that know what good beer is. I think that's a huge difference right now.
Yeah, people are looking for quality. And unfortunately, you see, you know, breweries closing, but people are flocking more towards, and that has nothing to do with quality, but the customer base is going towards, they're more educated. Their palates are more powerful because they do run your business. If you can't sell a beer to somebody, then you have to shift and try and sell to somebody else. I mean, we still just need to sell beer. So it's, making sure our quality is in check as breweries is really what's going to come down to in the end.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. Like I said, Yeah. I didn't know much about beer when I first started drinking it. Like I found one style that I like and pretty much stuck with that for the last 8 years. So
you know your craft. You know what you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. But yep. I mean, I feel like that's the biggest part of that. As far as like new beer that you all are making or at least want to make, like how's that creative process with that? Like, is it
I'll let them take this one.
So I don't, it's a good question. It really depends on, I think it really depends on time of year. The people that I can't really do it all myself. We can't do it all ourselves either. We have a lot of creativity between the two of us, but a lot of people are coming in here and just giving us like really good ideas or opportunities, other business owners, not a part of the industry, coming to us and offering us product that they might have that they want to play with and they want to see what it tastes like in beer.
Yeah, so we do a lot of those collaborations too, which is cool.
So one of my favorite beers on right now that we made recently is called Timbers. And it's a dark mild with charred oak staves and cinnamon, orange peel, clove, and cinnamon that came out of a rum barrel, a local rum barrel. So we didn't get the rum barrel, but we got everything that was in the rum barrel. And we put that in the dark mild, and it just like totally changed everything about it. I mean, you still get that dark mild flavor, but you also get the orange peel and everything else that comes with it. And it's really, really cool.
Really multifaceted. It hits a bunch of different of different spots on your palate that you just like you pick up every sip. It's like just a little bit something else. So that is a really fun one.
Yeah, it's really cool. But we also have another Saison that we aged in a gin barrel and, you know, kind of like, see what happens, you know, see if the beer gods are on our side this time. But, and they were on our side. So it tastes really cool. But yeah, it really depends on how much beer we have, what we want to play with, and how risky we want to go, you know?
So. Yeah. I mean, what is it? High risk, high reward, right? That's the saying.
For the most part.
High risk, giant fail. Like,
yeah.
That's also Benji's actually released. I'm sorry, what?
No, you can go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ben just released a lemon watermelon sour last week.
Okay.
Bump and rind. And it's, that's really good. So Ben is kind of like a chef. He plays with those different flavors off each other, you know, has that base beer and then, you know, splits it off a little bit, does specialty kegs too, to keep it interesting and light. So yeah, it's fun.
That's sick, man. I don't want to go back on like 2 seconds ago, but you said a dark mild, like for people who don't know what that is, because like very rarely you see that on a menu. What is that?
Good question.
So historically it's like, English region. It'd be along, like we also have an ESB, so it kind of falls into that family.
Yeah. I was going to say that. What is that? ESB?
Dark mild. So Ben threw a little bit extra, roasty malt in there. I'm sorry. I'm speaking for him, but I look at all the bills and I know what he put in there.
I mean, James says that he's not, a part of the brewing aspect as much as he is, but I do bring all these ideas to him. So
yeah, we work together on recipes.
So he does know about the beer more than we think.
But it's light, easy drinking, a little bit of bitterness that comes mostly from the malt and then like noble hops that are thrown in during the boil. So you don't have a lot of like hop aroma, but you have some of that on the back end that hits just the back of your palate. Some residual malt sweetness from I think you had caramel. Is there caramel in there?
Yeah.
And then just a little bit darker from some darker roasted malts. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the
easy and crushable.
The English yeast also plays a part in that too.
Big part.
But yeah, I mean, the name of it, English mild, is it's a mild beer. A lot of good flavor in it though. Really approachable for people that haven't had craft beer before. It's something that they can try and see what the next step is for what they drink, you know.
Well, before I let you all go, whenever people come to Rural City, like, what do you want them to feel? How do you want them to, like, what impression do you want to give off to, like, the first-timers that come into your brewery?
Well, everybody that walks in the door should instantly see a smile. You can see through the beards.
Yeah.
Should instantly see a smile from one of us or our staff. We have awesome staff that one thing that we've always driven is experience first. When you walk in the door, we want people to feel comfortable, be able to hang out, be able to ask questions about the beer. Again, a beer for every palate. But even if you don't drink beer, we have crafted cocktails, local spirits. You know, we want everybody to just come in and feel like they're in a safe space and an enjoyable space. And that's kind of what we hit at all three locations.
Yep.
That was always the dream of ours, was to make a business that was totally welcoming. Also a community space. We do a lot of work with the community in general. You know, the local schools, the local Lions Club to the park to, we want people to know that we are in it for the long haul and we're community forward and community based. So that's, yeah. That's about and we have good beer. That's like
good food. Comfort is like one of our biggest things. Come in, hang out. A lot of people that come here just turn into our friends. So it's really cool seeing people just continuing to come back and new people coming in as well. But like James said, I think it's just everyone's welcome. Everyone's able to just have a good time here, drink some good beers, hang out with their friends and family.
Local and laid back.
Yeah.
It's like local and laid back. That's cool. Yeah. That's a slogan I haven't heard yet. Somebody's
going to coin that. That was one of our things in our business plan. That was like one of the first things I typed. It's like, you know what? Let's be local and laid back.
Yeah, and also I didn't even talk about the food. What kind of food do you all serve?
So we go with the more of like the pub grub. Our smash burgers are killer at this Reamstown location. So all three menus are different. Reamstown, we try and do, you know, local pub grub, but we have the smash burgers, the salads. We have a rotating entree that happens on the weekends and special nights, wing nights, things like that. Down at the tap room, we're going more for like easy pub style. We pulled the fryers out of there because it's such a small space. We don't want people smelling like fried food. So we do everything in like a little pizza oven, quesadillas, homemade hummus. We do a lot of house-made stuff, local stuff. And then the beer garden is rotating food trucks. So we work with Lancaster food trucks. And if anybody comes in from Lancaster, that's great. They just have to go through Lancaster City. But, but you know, rotating food trucks throughout the week, Thursday through Sunday. And then we just try and keep it fresh down there. You want to add anything?
Yeah, I don't think so. I love the food. So. Yeah. I once starting a business, I'm like, I don't really want to cook at home anymore. So getting a smash burger or chicken sandwich here and there. It's
nice.
Doesn't help my,
I need more
health,
salads,
but
salads aren't as fun.
Yeah. Beer is really important to us. But the food is what keeps people here a little longer. So
it's true.
It's really important, obviously.
Well, man, can't thank you all enough for doing this. I'll be at Rural City.
And what brewery do you work at? You said you work
Zero
at
Day.
Oh, Zero you do work at Zero
Day.
Yeah,
oh,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hannah.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, and thank you all for doing this episode, and thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you, Malik.
Yeah, thanks. Look out for new episodes of Beer Talk every other Thursday. And cheers, guys.
Cheers.